Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the official podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. This week, with the Major League Baseball season winding down officially in the next couple of nights, we are visiting with former Jaguar baseball player Jordan Patterson, who earned his first call up to the big leagues last month. Jordan, thanks for spending time and visiting with us while you're back in town.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, the first thing I want to ask you about is tell us about how. How did you find out? Was it a phone call? Where, when you got it? Who told you? Where were you? Where'd you have to get to? Tell us about that day when you learned that you were getting called up to the major leagues.
Yeah, so the AAA season ends September 5th, and, you know, kind of the writing was kind of on the wall, but it still wasn't because I wasn't on the 40-man roster. It wasn't my time to be, so they would have to create space for me to be a big league call-up. And, you know, I was kind of optimistic, didn't know whether it was going to happen or not. It was the last game of AAA season, September 5th. We were in El Paso, Texas, and we finished the game, and the guys that are supposed to get called up are getting called up. They're getting called back in the manager's office, and I'm just sitting there eating a hamburger, you know, with my clothes on, and the pitching coach actually comes and grabs me and says, "Hey, the manager wants to talk to you," and go back there, and he had a flight itinerary, so obviously you start to, okay, like this is about to go down. So, you know, he says, "Look, this is a flight itinerary to Denver, and you're getting called up to the big leagues," and me and the manager, Glenn Allen Hill, who had a pretty long big league career, you know, we kind of shared a moment and hugged and, you know, kind of embraced it. And as soon as I, you know, found out, I went outside and called my family, and it just so happened my family were, it was Labor Day, so everybody was at my house, like brothers, sisters, nephew, niece, girlfriend, grandmother, so we were all able to kind of spend that moment over FaceTime, which was a pretty cool moment for me.
What were the emotions when you walked out of that office? I mean, is it pride? Is it just pure joy? Is it business as usual? What was running through your mind when you got on the phone with your family?
It was obviously with them. Around other people, I'm a little different, but with them, it was joy, you know, because they know how hard I've worked and, you know, how bad I wanted this, you know, opportunity. So for them, it was just they comforted me with joy and just, you know, they were just proud of me. And, you know, for me, I kind of, you know, it really didn't hit me at that point in time because not that I expected it, but, like, I thought I did deserve a shot, you know. So I was kind of ready to go once they called me, but I obviously was, you know, pumped up and, you know, proud to, you know, be called up.
So you make the trip up to Denver, but it turns out, you know, you guys head to San Diego.
Yeah.
September 8th, you make your major league debut. Tell us what it was like to play in your first major league game.
It was the anticipation was kind of that's what kind of gets you, because we went to Denver for 2 days against San Fran, and like there was Samardzija was throwing a couple chances to, like, opportunity to pinch hit, but it never came around. And then, you know, in San Diego, you know, and obviously they're still playing their guys, you know, we're up there to maybe pinch hit and be ready to pinch hit and stuff like that. So we're getting our teeth kicked in San Diego, like 14-1, and they bring the big dogs out, Cargo and Charlie and those guys, so we get to go in, and it was kind of surreal. You know, I got to go in the field first, which kind of calms your nerves, and then since we're getting beat 14-1, it was a little bit, you know, I was a lot calmer than I thought I would be, and actually ended up having okay at bat and, you know, getting a walk, but it was a kind of a whirlwind, kind of cool experience.
So, as you said, you know, you come up here as a call-up, and it's mostly reserve duty, whether it's pinch hitting or a couple innings in the field. So the first hit didn't come until September 21st against the St. Louis Cardinals. What do you remember about that at-bat?
So, like I said, like the first two, I guess, caught up September 6th. So the first 2 weeks, you know, I'm pinch hitting, you know, defense replacement, double switch type playing and getting a bat every, you know, 4 or 5 days. And I do remember vividly, like, the night before I got a start, I came in the sixth or the seventh, or I pinch hit in the seventh and stayed in, faced Michael Walker and Rosenthal and had two pretty good at-bats. And I remember thinking, like, okay, if I get my shot, then we could get this thing out the way. And I was 0 for 4 at the time, 5 plate appearances. You know, all I want to get really is in the hit column. You know, so I got to start the next day. Walk comes in. You know, it's a day game, so I'm like, okay, the big dog probably get a rest, and I'll get to play. So I get, Walk comes to me, and it's like, look, you're playing today. And I was pretty confident because my swing was feeling good, and I was feeling right where I wanted to be. And then the first at bat, got to get the little blooper over the shortstop's head, which was relieving.
You know, you brought it up, and I want to touch on it, but how hard is it, you know, for so much of your life you've been a regular player and you get in the, you're in the lineup virtually every day and you can get into a rhythm and all that. How hard is it in September you get called up and it's so sporadic? How difficult was it and how'd you adjust?
It was tough at first, you know. Obviously, I wanted to go up there and play. Like, I expected to play, and I wanted to play. So, for me, it was like really preparing to play every day, whether I was or not. Because for this opportunity I had, they obviously thought enough of me to call me up. So, I was trying to make the most of the opportunity when I got a shot, you know, to kind of put in their head, like, this kid can play, you know. So, for me, I took it seriously. It wasn't just like a vacation in September knowing I wasn't going to play. I wanted to take it seriously, and like every at bat I got was about as precious as an at bat I've ever had. So I try to stay locked in and prepare and, you know, feed off these guys and learn from these guys and be ready to go.
So for those of us who are talking to you now or will be listening to this later on, I'd say a fair amount of us haven't and are never going to play a day in the major leagues.
Yeah.
Describe a typical day. Say it's a weekday, but you've got a night game.
Yeah.
What do you do throughout the course of the day? How do you prepare? When do you get to the park? What do you do when you get there before the lights go on when everyone's watching in the first inning?
For sure. It's the same thing every day pretty much. You kind of get out. I'm a routine-based type person. You know, I'm going to do the same thing every day. So, like, say we play a 6:40 game in Denver, and I would probably get there about 1:15 or so and 1:30 and, you know, get there and kind of get your bearings. And, like, I'll sit in my locker, you know, get dressed and stuff. And then I'll go stretch and roll out and, you know, kind of get my body activated and going. And up there they have a chef, so you get lunch and whatever's on the menu that day, you get something to eat. And then you kind of just hang out, you know. Anybody I could talk to, like, if I could learn something, I try to learn something. And then I'd go hit in the cage, you know, do my routine in the cage with the hitting guy. And BP would be from 3:45 to 4:45, and you do BP and, you know, get your work in. And then once you come back in from BP, you're kind of on your own. You know, you hang out and you eat and you kind of do whatever you have to do mentally to prepare. And then you go out for the game and play the game. And then after the game, you kind of recover. You eat dinner. You get in the cold tub. You work out, whatever you need to do to get ready or help your body feel better the next day. And then you wake up the next morning and do it all over again.
Yeah, I think sometimes people forget, for you, this is a job. It's not a game anymore.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, it's a business, and, you know, it's this world, and it's evolving to kind of what have you done for me lately type world. You know, if you don't produce for, you know, an extended period of time, they're going to find the younger, better player, they think. So for me, it's always, you know, I always have to come prepared, always be ready to go, or, you know, I could potentially get my job taken, and I don't want that to happen.
No, I know. I mean, it's about close to a month that you had at the major league level, but, you know, you've been in the minors since 2013 because you signed after being drafted and went straight into pro ball. Compare, like, a day in the minor leagues to a day in the majors. Is it just that the stadium's bigger and the food's a little better and you do the same thing? Or how's that? So, you know, that and travel.
Yeah, it's as far as, like, my routine and stuff, it's the exact same thing. But everything in the big leagues is a little upper scale. You know, the food's better. The facilities are better. Everything's better. You know, everything's substantially better. And, you know, whether I'm in AA, AAA, or the big leagues, it doesn't change what I do. It's just different. It's just how they treat you is a little different. And the travel's
obviously a little better. In AAA, you fly, but, you know, you're doing the 6:30, 7 a.m. flights and, you know, getting the bus at 4:35 in the morning and doing going to the airport and doing all the security and stuff. But in the big leagues, you just drive the bus around the tarmac and you get on your own plane and you got a seat with 10 foot of leg room and you drinks and food and everything. So the travel's a lot easier from level to level for sure.
Now, before I go backwards with you, I want to state for the record that you did end up hitting .444 in your first official season in the majors, 8 for 18. And so eventually you did find something that worked for you. I mean, have you even thought about that, or what do you do to evaluate your performance from September to help you get ready for next season?
I think I did what I needed to do. You know, I didn't get a ton of opportunities. I got 3 starts against St. Louis, you know, 1 for 2. And then at the end of the season, games in 161, 162, I got to play first base against Milwaukee, and I've been working a ton at first base. And got in there and try to make an impact and just really help the team win. And I was fortunately put in the spot to you know, impact the game and, you know, come up with some big hits. You know, I was putting – it felt like every time we needed a big hit, my spot came up. So I was constantly in that spot, and thankfully I came through, and it was nice to kind of go into transition and show some of these front office guys that, you know, I can play and I can help this team win, you know, at the big league level, and you know, that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference and an impact and help these guys win.
All right, so I want to go back. I imagine you probably still – remember it, but you know, how old were you when you started playing baseball, and do you remember why you started playing at first?
I was 4 years old. I started playing at the Y for a year, and then my brothers were playing out at Westside and West Mobile, and that's where I grew up playing. You know, I'd spent a lot of hours at Westside, and it's kind of, you know, I have 2 older brothers, so it kind of started with my brothers, and they grew up into it, and it kind of was what our family kind of chose to do, kind of the sports route, and baseball and football and basketball, that's kind of what we did. And I remember just really enjoying playing baseball, you know, whether it was my dad or my brothers or by myself or whatever it may be. I enjoyed playing, and I was pretty good at it, you know, at a young age. And I don't know, that's all I wanted to do, was really play baseball.
Yeah, you were a multi-sport athlete. And, you know, when did you start thinking about, okay, I might have a chance to go to college, a scholarship might be a possibility, and how did you determine that baseball is going to be that route versus one of the other sports?
It was always kind of baseball. You know, I loved basketball and football. I really did. You know, in high school, I loved basketball in high school just as much as I loved baseball. But baseball was always kind of like, okay, his ceiling's the highest in baseball, you know. But I was a pitcher in high school, really. I mean, I hit a little bit, but I mean, I was able to hit. But everybody always says, like, 6'4", lefty, you know, upper 80s, like, you know, he could be a pitcher. And I always thought that would, you know, be my ticket. So, you know, and it's crazy how it turned out. Coach Calvi gave me the opportunity. I actually was signed with a junior college, and a week before South started, I signed at South with Coach Calvi, and as a pitcher, and he said he was going to give me the opportunity to hit. And so I got on campus, and I hit in the fall and didn't pitch a lick, and it kind of – everything else kind of took care of itself.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can look back at it now. I've got it in front of me. A career 321 hitter in 3 seasons, 16 homers, 125 RBI, 51 doubles. You did pitch a little, though. You made 19 appearances in 2 seasons. You know, talk about being a dual position player at the collegiate level. And was it harder once you started throwing? And how did that affect your focus on your hitting?
It was kind of weird. My freshman year, all I did was hit. So we kind of scratched pitching, and I hit, and then I go to summer ball in New York, and Coach Calvi told my summer ball coach, like, hey, get him a few innings, let's see where he's at. So I'm hitting, and I start throwing, and I had a velo jump, and I was like 84, 86 my freshman year, and then I was like 90, 92 that summer, and I didn't do anything. It was like I took 6 months off of pitching, and then it just something clicked, and it was throwing 90, 92. So I came back, and Coach Calvi was like, holy cow, like, where'd this come from? So he's like, we got to put him in the pen. So I started throwing, and you know, and it was kind of a it was kind of cool. Like, okay, I can do both. So it was tough my sophomore year. I kind of had to figure out how to prioritize both, you know, because I knew I was a hitter and I wanted to most of my time wanted to be toward hitting, but I also knew I could help the team on the mound. So it was tough at first, but my junior year, I come back from the Cape and Coach Cab's like, look, you're just gonna hit. So I'm like, okay. So I'm hitting, and in the fall, out of nowhere, he's like, hey, we're gonna put you back on the mound. So I throw in the fall, I'm like 993, and it's like they're like, okay, this guy can help us. So I'd end up going in the spring and doing both, but you know, hitting was my main focus, and I kind of just, it was almost like pitched as a hobby, you know, like if they needed me, I would do it, and I really enjoyed it, and I really, I'm thankful to have been a two-sport, I mean, not a two-sport, to be able to hit and pitch in college, because, I mean, it was a ton of fun to do both.
So I wanted to ask you about the Cape. You went up there after your sophomore year, and that is the highest level wood bat summer league. Now that you look back on that experience, how much did playing in it all summer and the guys that you faced up there prepare you to succeed at the professional level?
It was big because I kind of realized, like, you know, these dudes ain't no better than I am. You know, I can play with these guys. Doesn't matter if they go to Alabama, North Carolina, whatever. Like, just because I go to South Alabama doesn't make them superior to me. So, for me, just seeing it, you know, seeing the talent and seeing that I'm right there with them kind of motivated me and made me realize, like, okay, I mean, I got a good shot at this thing. And it kind of upped my game, and I came in the next year and kind of ran with it.
Yeah, you know, it helped you realize that. Is that about the same time that maybe – playing professionally and succeeding at it became realistic goal? Because I think every kid dreams of, you know, I want to play in the majors. Yeah. But at some point, reality hits. And is that the same time where you thought, okay, I can succeed at this?
Yeah, I mean, even in high school, I remember telling my friends and family, like, look, I just want to play at a four-year school and, you know, get my college paid for and whatever happens after that happens. You know, no one looked at me at pro ball in high school. Or, I mean, I didn't talk to one scout. But I do remember vividly my freshman year, we were playing at Troy, and Tyler Ray was on the mound. He's like an All-American, and I ended up turning him around and barreling one up, and some guys came up to me like, hey, man, these scouts were like, they were talking about you. And then I remember thinking, like, okay, like, this could be something. And I remember Coach Calvi telling me my freshman year, like, you're a top 10 rounder if you work hard and you get at bats and you, like, do it the right way. And I remember thinking, like, man, like, this could, and you never, like you said, reality. I'm like, I mean, whatever, you know. But then every year, you know, go to the Cape, you see that, you come back, and then then these scouts are starting to come to the games. You're like, okay, like, this could be reality. And it took a while for it to set in, but eventually it did.
So I want to talk to you about draft day. Fourth round selection by the Rockies in the 2013 draft after your junior year. Where were you? Say, kind of the same questions that I started with in your call-up, but in this case, the start of your professional career when you got drafted, where were you when the call came? Tell us about that moment and, you know, how quickly you had to move after that.
So I got drafted on a Saturday, I think. Yeah, Saturday. Or like, it was something like that, but the rounds 1 and 2 were on one day, and then the rounds 4 through 10 or 3 through 10 were the other day. And you know, me getting drafted in the first or second round was kind of a long shot. You know, someone had to, you know, really reach. So we're kind of watching with my, you know, my mom, dad, grandma, brothers, you know, my agent, and we're all sitting there, just kind of preparing me for what's going to happen. And I don't get called on the first day, which was kind of expected, but I was still kind of nervous and anxious. And you know, so the next day comes around, starts at 12. You know, so the third round's going by, and these guys are getting taken that I know I'm better than, or I think I'm better than at least. And I'm like, man, I'm like getting anxious. And then finally, the Rockies call my agent at the very end of the third round. Like, look, we're looking to take Patterson with the third pick in the fourth round. But there's a pitcher we want before him. So the pitcher's still on the board, we're not going to take him. But the pitcher goes off the board, then we're going to grab him. So in the second round, I mean, the second pick in the fourth round, the Cubs take the right-handed pitcher who I actually played with in the Cape, Tyler Scalina from Kent State. And when they took the right-handed pitcher, I was like, okay, like that might have been him. And then the area scout from Mobile calls me and like, look, you're going to be a Rocky, and that was a surreal moment as well, to be there with my family and, you know, to see the look on my dad's face and my mom's face. And, you know, it was a proud moment, and it was a blessing.
And how quickly after that did you do, you know, sign the paperwork, get your name on the contract, and head to rookie league ball?
Yeah, it was about a week, and then I flew to Denver, signed the contract, and the next day I was in Grand Junction, Colorado, and 2 days later I was in the lineup, ready to go. So it was a quick whirlwind kind of experience, and before you know it, it's like you think you're on top of the world, and then you're in rookie ball, and you're like, and you feel like ages away from the. I remember feeling like, man, I'm never going to make it to the big leagues. So, you know, it's like five levels to get there, you know. So, but that's where it all started.
Okay, so you're in Grand Junction. Tell us about that first summer. I mean, what was it like going from being a student athlete and classes and working towards your degree in addition to practicing games versus now baseball's what you do? And what did you do to make that transition work for you?
Yeah, it's a definitely different world. You know, here, I mean, I enjoyed waking up in the morning, going to class and eating lunch at 12 and going to the field and doing study hall. Like, I enjoyed the structure. But in pro ball, it's a different thing. You know, it's you're on your own. It's your career. You know, it's what you make of your career. What kind of work you want to put in to, you know, be the player you want to be. If you want to be an average player, then you put in the average amount of time. If you want to be an exceptional player and, you know, be one of the best, you work hard. And so it's kind of all on you. No one's there really holding your hand or pushing you or anything. You kind of it's all on your own. You show up to the field when you want to, and you do your work, and you get your work in, and then you perform at night.
So now I want to go back here. You know, the World Series has been underway. There have been some good games in there. Are you even watching it, or because it, you know, those are teams that aren't yours? And have you kind of put it in the back of your mind and rather focus on yourself and the Rockies?
No, I mean, I enjoy watching baseball. I really like baseball. So, and I like learning, you know, watching these guys. How people get pitched, how hitters respond to certain things, you know, how the game moves and how it's working, and I enjoy watching it. So yeah, I've been locked in the past, you know, 3 weeks on these playoff games.
So what are you doing to prepare for the 2017 season? And you know, how long are you going to be in Mobile for? Do you go somewhere else to get some work in, or how what are you looking at this off season?
So, right, I mean, got done October 2nd, so I'll be here till, you know, end of January, you know, last couple of weeks of January. And for me, just right now, working out, and I want to be ready to go and come spring training. You know, I mean, I've put myself in a position to win a job, and you know, I might not be the glamorous pick, but I want to go in and make a statement for myself and really be in the conversation and break with the team. You know, so that for right now, I'm trying to prepare myself to, you know, be ready to go come February.
I mean, you work out with the guys on the team now. Do you go hit somewhere where you've got old friends that are pitching to you? What are some of the things that you're doing? I mean, when you work out, you're lifting weights. Do you come back to campus, or are you in a gym somewhere?
Yeah, I work out with Joey Sharon up at the football. You know, he worked me out when I was here, you know, a couple of years when I was here. So me and him still have a good relationship. And then, I mean, he me and him get it done over in the weight room. And then, I mean, Coach Calvi, I mean, he's been like a second dad to me. Coach Lucky, you know, Coach Keller, all this, Coach Pro, you know, and they treat me like family, man. They treat me part of the team, and there's no like distant or anything. They, you know, I'm part of the family, and he treats me like, you know, Coach Calvi treats me like a friend, or, you know, a son more than anything now. And he lets me come and go as I please. I can jump into BP, do whatever I want, and you do that. And then the hitting coach that was here, Coach Zuli, I still, me and him are more, you know, really good friends now than Coach Player, but I still hit with him. And, you know, I mean, I owe a lot to those coaches. You know, what they've done for me, they've developed me as a player, and, you know, on and off the field, all three or four of them. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for giving me an opportunity. You know, no telling what would have happened if I'd have went to the junior college and Coach Calvi didn't, that one day at Baker High School, didn't give me the opportunity to play here. You know, so I'm grateful for him and grateful for the staff, and I'm really grateful for, you know, everything they do for me.
So, and I'm pretty sure I've heard this before in the past, you know, in previous years, you didn't necessarily know what level you were being assigned to until really late. Now you're going into spring training with the possibility maybe you'll be in the majors, maybe you'll be in AAA again. Again, uncertain. For a person of structure, you know, does that bother you a little bit, or do you just move forward and roll with it as you get closer to spring training?
It's kind of you kind of roll with it. You know, every year you're anticipating something, whether am I going to low A or high A, am I going to double A or triple A, you know. So this year I know I'm going to be one of two places. I'm going to be in Denver, I'm going to be in Albuquerque. So for me it's kind of good to know, like, okay, I'm either or. So obviously you want to start in the big leagues, but, you know, wherever I start's fine, but I'm just going there working hard and trying to earn a job.
So I highlighted some of the statistics. You know, I want to make sure people out there recognize you were an All-American in 2013, the Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year that year you were drafted. You guys had success as a team, but when you look back on your South Alabama experience, is there a favorite moment? Is there something that stands out to you that you know you're going to take with you moving forward?
I think it's 2013 as a whole. You know, came here in 2011. Coach Calvi was the head coach in waiting. Coach Kitchell was last year, and you know, the program then wasn't. And nothing against Coach Kitchell, was a great coach, but it wasn't where we wanted to be. 2012 was a letdown year. We were like 24-35, and then 2013 it was like something clicked, and you know, we won 42 games, or 42 games, 42-20, and it was just to be with those guys. You know, like a bunch of those guys, and you know, just that whole year, just to be together with those guys and those coaches, and be experienced. You know, getting in a regional for the first time in however many years. Just as a whole, it was a really cool, special year.
We're visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with former baseball All-American Jordan Patterson, who made his major league debut last month with the Colorado Rockies. Jordan, appreciate the time, but before we go, we want to ask you some questions. First thing that pops into your mind, kind of treat the leg in that bat, see if you can't slap the pitch somewhere quick and get on base. But, you know, away from baseball, what do you like to do with your free time?
You hang out with the family, watch college football, hang out with, you know, girlfriend, and just kind of relax and, you know, enjoy football and just, you know, just really hanging out.
Does that make your answer to the next question of what your favorite sport outside of baseball is obvious?
No, for me personally, it's basketball. Yeah, I really enjoyed playing basketball in high school.
What is the best sporting event that you've ever attended as a fan?
Probably Alabama LSU game in 2008.
I'm going to assume that's a football game?
Yes, football game in Bryant-Denny.
And what sporting event is on your bucket list? You've never been there, but you just want to go. Got to see it.
Duke, North Carolina game in Cameron Indoor.
And if you get a chance, whether it's the off season or somewhere down the road after you've retired, you get one shot at a dream vacation place. Where are you going?
Man, that's tough. For me, I want to. It's not like a specific place, but I want to go to every SEC stadium, football stadium, and just bounce around and hit all of them, and also hit some, you know, just some sporting venues I might not have the chance to go to. So I want to make it like a couple week long vacation where I can just hit a ton of sporting venues in a row.
Well, I'm going to give you a heads up, Daniel McCarthy and over in administration in the athletic department is doing the same thing with his son, Drew. We'll see who can get to every SEC stadium first. You want to put the race on?
Yeah, let's do it.
What's your favorite movie?
Rim of Titans.
Favorite book?
Beyond Belief by Josh Hamilton.
Favorite musical artist?
George Strait.
And when your career is over and they make the Jordan Patterson story, who's going to be the actor playing the starring role of Jordan Patterson?
Mel Gibson.
Well done. Jordan Patterson, Colorado Rocky, former Jaguar baseball All-American. We appreciate the time. Best of luck this offseason getting ready, and wish you the best in the spring and moving forward with your professional career.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the time.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!